007 a saint. Trainer said a go get her international jet set. Just a few things that I hate. The anti-Semitic threats targeting our Jewish community and community centers are horrible and are painful, and a very sad reminder of the work that still must be done to root out hate and prejudice and evil.
You are listening to the Laura Ingraham Show. That is Donald Trump earlier today at the African American Museum. And clearly the administration felt like it was being backed up into a corner after that press conference last week where the Israeli journalist asked a question about anti-Semitism. And a lot of folks who want to, I think a lot of folks who want to believe the worst about Trump took his answer or his lack of an answer to indicate that, aha, he's an anti-Semitic guy who has a Jewish daughter and three Jewish grandchildren. To me, none of that made any sense. None of it. They were going on and on about that on MSNBC. And I certainly hope they're not reacting to the MSNBC commentary. But nevertheless, they went to the African American Museum. Interesting that Ivanka was there with him. She's gotten hit by a lot of these. I think the ripple effect of the calumny directed at Trump, and it's hurt her brand, without a doubt. It's hurt her business interests. But she tweeted out a comment today about religious tolerance is at the bedrock of our society and appeared with him today at the African American Museum. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Show, 855-40-LAURA. In just one moment, we're going to get to Matt Schlapp, who heads the Conservative Political Action Committee event that's taking place in Washington over the next few days. And Raymond has another update on the president's new executive action, the guidelines from the Department of Homeland Security. They're the guidelines that are distributed to all of the Border Patrol officials, everyone involved with the deportation and the enforcement of our immigration law. What else does it say, Raymond?
Well, it's going to actually broaden deportations and expulsions, according to the New York Times. This is breaking. It includes people convicted of fraud of any official matter before a governmental agency and people who have abused any program related to public benefits. They will be packed away.
Let's say you're an illegal immigrant who tried to vote in a presidential election. Out of the country. Let's say you're an illegal immigrant who has fraudulently collected food stamps. Out of the United States. Let's say you're an illegal immigrant who fraudulently collected welfare benefits or any type of disability benefits for you or your grandfather or grandmother or Social Security benefits using a fake ID or a dead person's Social Security. Now, that means done. Is it one and done? You know how they say that with the kids playing basketball?
Yep.
They play 1 year and
one
in
and
college
done.
And then they're off to the NBA. Right? One and done, like those Ball brothers. They're all going to be one and done out there and played in Chico, California, the Ball brothers. They're great players.
This is also going to expand expedited removals, which under the—
I love the expedited. Anything that's expedited, I love it. Love expedited removal. Goodbye.
Under the Obama administration, you had to be within 100 miles of the border to qualify for expedited removal. This will nationalize it if you are located anywhere in the U.S.
I never understood the 100 mile from the border. 100 mile? Why 100 miles? Why not 1,000 miles? It is the country. 100 miles? Is 100 mile have any special designation according to British common law, which our law is based on? Natural law? No, this is a country. It's the entire country, not a 100-mile country.
The officials made it clear that nothing in the directives would change the program known as Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, which provides work permits and deportation protection for young people, commonly referred to as
dreamers. Let's say dreamers every time we do it. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Dreamers.
Joining us now. Where is he? Oh, there he is. Oh, he's not on. Where's Matt Schlapp? Oh, we're trying to get him on. Oh, he's very popular right now.
Well, we've been talking about this for a couple of hours.
Yeah, so
the Milo Yiannopoulos, who's a British gadfly, who's really a provocateur.
He's gross. I'm sorry, he's gross. He's gross not because he's gay. He's gross because he says sexually charged things.
To get attention.
We're not interested in your sexual activity. We're not interested in. I'm not interested in hearing about who he's having a tryst with. I'm not interested in anyone's sexual life. You know, those who can't do talk about it. I mean, so he's going on and on like, we don't care. We don't care about your your highlighted hair, your Ray-Ban sunglasses, he was walking all around the Trump victory party.
That's correct.
At the Hilton Hotel and walking all around the Trump victory party, and I just ignored him. I mean, I don't like the gadfly thing is tedious. And, yeah, I don't like what they did to him at Berkeley. I think you can hold those two ideas in your mind at the same time and
Correct. Not
be inconsistent.
No, well, that's what I said earlier. We can defend his right to speak. And if people want to invite him and he wants to speak, he should be allowed to without having people burn cars and blow things up or threaten violence against people. At the same time, is this what conservatism means to
you? What is he conserving, actually? What is it? Is he conserving?
Some of Milo's supporters have tweeted and emailed all morning and said he's very conservative on certain issues, and if you listen to him, you will find that.
Okay, well, I'm glad, but then there are all the other things. I mean, okay, so he's probably saved some kittens from trees, too.
Well, as I said earlier, you know, conservatism and in the vision articulated by the founding fathers, virtue, a common civic morality, was also key to preserving the republic. And the question is, how much can you dislocate that while still, you know, being attached to tax cuts and personal liberty? Is that enough for conservatism today?
Well, I think that this is always the conflict we see between the libertarians and the populace. The libertarians and more of the conservative populace. See, I'm more of a Buchananite. Always have been. Always have been. And since I was a kid, and I worked for Reagan, I'm more of with the Buchanan brigades. I'm not with the Milo. The Milo thing to me is just, it's kind of amusing, I guess. But what are you, exactly, what when you're following Milo, what are you following? And also, here's one other thing I'll say. Anyone who goes by one name, unless you're Sinatra, and it's just Sinatra. Yeah, one name, I don't. Listen to this. Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. That in honor of George Washington's 285th birthday. And I think, you know, when you think of natural law, a lot of the libertarians are like natural law people. Well, what is natural law based on? Natural law is based on a morality, and it's grounded in everlasting principles of what freedom really means. It's not just do whatever you want with abandon.
It's not license.
Do whatever you want. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Show. So when all these Bush conservatives talk about, well, we've got to spread, you know, democracy all around the world. What are we exactly spreading with this, with Milo? What are we going to tell all these Muslim countries got to be just like us because this is what we represent? It just makes no sense. Joining us now is Matt Schlapp, who's the head of CPAC, as we're going through this new. These new DHS guidelines on immigration, which are music to my ears. Why we do this long lead up to deportation with waiting 10 and 12 years for people to come here and use all of our benefits? It never made any sense to me. Just because you get into the interior part of the country, because you're working at a car wash somewhere, but you cross the border 2 weeks ago, you're treated differently from someone who's still within 100 miles of the border. It makes no sense. Not at all. And if you're using a false documentation, you're out. I mean, everybody's using false documentation, I guess, so that's what they're saying. Matt Schlapp joins us now. Matt, good to have you with us. How are you? Matty, are you there? Matt Schlapp. Matt, are you there? We don't know what happened to Matt. Matt's there, but he's not there. What can I say? Oh, by the way, the Texas Tenors were at this. They attended this party.
What is it? Well, who are the Texas Tenors?
Well, they're three tenors. And
I'm tired of the three tenors thing.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
well, they were on America's Got Talent. It was nice entertainment to have at
What was this fancy dinner you were at?
It was Gay Gaines had this patriotic celebration of America because of Washington's birthday. You know, she raised all that money for Mount Vernon. She raised like $250 million from Mount
Vernon. She also was, I think, involved in the Newton Callista movie about
Washington. Exactly. And she's such an amazing person. Anyway, so she had this dinner last night in Palm Beach about, and it was celebrating George Washington, but they always have an entertainment at the dinner. So they had the Texas Tenors. And so they were very entertaining.
Lee Greenwood wasn't available.
I was thinking about you, Raymond, because guess one of the songs was, and this was the last song. Now, if you're doing a patriotic celebration, the last song should have been America the Beautiful, right. Something like that. They did sing God Bless America, and it was beautiful. But the last song was My Way, which, and I said, of course, Rudy Giuliani sat next to me. I said, let's talk as a paisan here, Rudy. I mean, who can sing this except Sinatra's like, it brings tears to my eyes. Whoever's singing it brings tears to my eyes. It was beautiful. Oh, no, it was. But anyway, the lead singer, lead tenor in one of the songs, sang the Bruno Mars song, Just the Way You Are. It's, you know, one of his hit songs. Yeah. And he went around to all these, you know, a lot of them elderly ladies and like was serenading them. And then it came to me. And so he was giving the microphone to people. Mm-hmm. And he had an unbelievable voice. So he would sing and make the other person
sing along, complete the line.
Or copy it. He did it. Then he came over to me. Because I was singing and he saw me. He said, oh, you think you can sing, huh?
Oh.
And so he could see me singing across the table. So he comes over to me. Nailed it. Nailed it. And all these people came up to me. I swear I've never felt better. It comes to me. I didn't know you could sing so well. That was unbelievable. I said, it was the Holy Spirit, because normally I come across fairly flat, but it was actually pretty good. It was fun. It was good, though. Matt Schlapp is with us now. Of course, he's head of CPAC, big explosion in publicity because of the disinvitation of Milo Yiannopoulos, and they canceled his book over there at Simon & Schuster. Louise Burke said, bye-bye, Milo. Matt joins us now. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Well, I see all over the media, Matt, as CPAC is about to kick off. You were had this guy Milo coming on and all this protests at Berkeley. They're shoving benches through the windows at Berkeley,
right.
Burning it up. And then some comments, which we can't even play on the show, comments surfaced.
Terrible.
Yeah, which seemed to legitimize pedophilia. He's talking about the age of consent. He says he was being sarcastic. And his defense, he said, you know, look, I'm imprecise sometimes in my language, but, you know, I deplore this behavior and so forth. Here's my question to you, Max. I've known you for a long time. I have incredible respect for you, as you know, and both you and your wife are just wonderful people and really smart. You said that Milo is a, quote, big voice in this movement. How so? How is he a big voice in conservatism? The conservatism of Bill Buckley, Phyllis Schlafly, Russell Kirk, Ronald Reagan, and then Milo? How does that work?
Yeah, so basically what I was referring to, and what he was, to get a few things straight, he wasn't going to give a keynote address. We have 100 people speaking. He was going to speak on the narrow topic of shutting down the ability to have free speech on campus. And people said, well, why, you know, why was he appropriate to speak on that? Because I think in light of what happened at Berkeley, he is a voice in that particular movement and the ability to have people, even though, you know, we don't agree with everything they say, and he's rather flamboyant, as you said, imprecise with his language. But he is somebody who's spending a lot of his time talking on college campuses. And a lot of times these liberal lords on the campuses shut him down. And so on that narrow topic, I do think he's somebody who's trying to take on these guys, and he is a leading voice.
Well, I always think of it this way. Look, conservative movement, I'm not for excommunicating people out of the movement. That's what National Review and people signed that Never Trump thing. You know, Jennifer Rubin. They were all trying to excommunicate people.
You didn't sign it. I didn't sign it. And it's a lot of moralizing and elitism on what people think around the country.
Yeah, well, I think that I'm not for shrinking the movement. I think there are different parts of conservatism and there are different elements and there's some disagreements, which is fine. It's very healthy to have that. Here's my concern. I'm concerned because I don't even think about him all that much. But the people who are just purposeful provocateurs, and so we're supposed to be tee-heeing every time he talks about his sexual exploits, or he's not racist because he likes black men. I mean, all this stuff that I don't know. You guys have so many young voices who are really fighting the good fight on college campuses, and you have a lot of folks at Campus Reform and people in the pro-life movement. I know you feature a lot of them at CPAC. I hate that teachable moment phrase, but maybe it's kind of a teachable moment that the more conservatives elevate or give, I guess, airtime to people who are not all that chock full of ideas, but are really good self-promoters, might not be helping conservatism. That's all I could say.
I think that's a fair point. And, you know, you can imagine a lot of time and thought goes into deciding who speaks on these topics. And clearly, this is one where we fumbled, where, you know, his comments on, as you referred to, this child sexual abuse, or, you know, put him outside consideration. But that being said, I do think that there are controversies going on in society. Our culture is so broken. And you do have some traditional conservative voices who say, you know, it's almost like they're looking the other way to everything we're facing. I mean, you don't even know what bathroom to use anymore. And this is this insanity in the culture, and we want to put.
But isn't he part of that insanity, Matt? I mean, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but isn't he part of that cultural maelstrom, which is kind of, again, we celebrate the gadfly at the expense of what? I mean, at the expense of our traditional understanding of right and wrong, and decorum or modesty, a little bit of modesty. Do we have to hear about every sexual exploit? And virtue.
Let me try to tell you what we try to do, because I agree with what you're saying. We sat down with him and talked to him about these things, and we talked to him about what would be appropriate and not be appropriate. And he understood that we weren't going to allow him to do. I told him I'm the kind of person that gives someone a chance. And I was going to consider giving him a chance.
No.
And we did invite him. And you get a chance. And if you break that trust, you don't get to come back. And you know, Laura, there's a lot of, like you say, provocateurs and that consider themselves conservatives. And they really don't get to grace.
Well, I think that's interesting. Well, and Matt, we love you. We love Mercedes. And you have a great CPAC. I wish I could be there, but I can't this year. We're going to take a break on The Laura Ingraham Show, 855-40-LAURA.
The Laura Ingraham Show.